Welcome I've had this morning. It's great to be amongst you and a real privilege to be here this morning. Just to give you a bit of context as to why I'm here and speaking to you on this topic of asking questions and sharing stories. As Andrew said, I'm part of Grace Vineyard in Purley, and one of the things that I'm involved in with Mike, my husband, is the street outreach team. So this is something that we do with a number of churches in Purley, including people from Christchurch. And we just love our town, we love our people in the town, and we love Jesus, and we want people to be able to meet with him. And so we have conversations of faith with people on the streets, we offer to pray with them, and we really we just pray that they would encounter the living Jesus out on the streets. And we're seeing more of that while we're out there. The other reason is I work for London City Mission, and I'm part of the leadership team at London City Mission. And we're passionate there really about seeing the people of this city come to know Jesus. And so I'm not here in a formal capacity this morning for London City Mission, but while I'm here, I just want to say thank you very much to you as a church and to individuals for all the support that you give us. Your partnership in the gospel really is and does make a difference to the lives of so many people in our city. So that just gives you a bit of context as to who I am and where I'm speaking from this morning. Now, as part of the series on missional practices that you've been looking at, we've looked at the practice of generosity and of blessing other people around us. We've looked at the need to reach out and to share Jesus using the style and the gifts that suit us best. And so today I'm going to take us onto the next step in terms of how do we naturally ask questions, share stories in a way that enables us to share our faith. So stories are captivating, aren't they? They're powerful, they're evocative. And Jesus used these to really help to explain some profound, deep theological points in ways that were really easy to understand. And we can follow that same approach today as we share the truth of who Jesus is with those around us. Now, I know that we all know why it's important to share our faith, but I think it's really important just to remind ourselves so that we don't become complacent about it. So there were a couple of verses I just want us to look at to think this through. The first is in the Great Commission. So Matthew chapter 28, at the end of that chapter, Jesus calls us to go and to make disciples. Now, going doesn't just mean we have to pack our bags, say our goodbyes and fly to some far-flung place, but it's a call to actively go to people, not to wait for them to come to us. We need to be intentional about reaching out to people who don't yet know Jesus. Secondly, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read that Jesus calls us to be witnesses of Christ. As we heard from Simon last week, we all make up the body of Christ, and we all have a valuable part to play. We might not all be gifted evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses in whatever way that works for us. And thirdly, in Colossians chapter 4, as we've just heard read, we're called to proclaim the message of this wonderful good news. That means that actions alone, while important, are not enough. There comes a point where we have to actually share in words the good news of the gospel. Otherwise, how will people respond? And as we do this, we read in Colossians, there are a number of things that we can do that will help us as we share and as we proclaim this good news. One is to be wise in the way that we act. It helps if we stop and listen both to the people that we're speaking with and to the Holy Spirit before we rush in with an assumed response to their questions. And we need to make the most of every opportunity. We need to be prepared and prayerfully seeking those opportunities so that we recognise when God opens the doors and we're ready to walk through them in our own natural style and God-given gifts. Thirdly, our conversations need to be full of grace. So whatever story people share with us about their lives, we need to demonstrate God's radical, inclusive love and not make any assumptions or judgments about them. And finally, our conversations need to be seasoned with salt. Now, salt acts as a preservative, helping to prevent decay. So our words and our actions need to preserve the truth of the gospel message. Salt is also a fertiliser, so our conversations should foster growth in those around us. Salt also flavours food, so we shouldn't be bland in our views, our actions, our conversations, but instead we should reflect the abundant, multicoloured life that Jesus has come to offer. Rather than assimilating into the culture around us, the questions we ask and the stories we tell need to be seasoned with salt, bringing life and flavour and cutting through the sweetness and challenging people's assumptions of the truth, with the truth, sorry. And finally, salt creates thirst. So our presence should make people ask for our secret, long for something better, long for God himself. And this is what Jesus did. He asked questions and he told stories to challenge people, love people and point them to him. In the Gospel of John, we've just read this well-known story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, he started by asking a question, "Will you give me a drink?" And this led Jesus to being able to tell a story about the type of water that he offers, the water of life, which satisfies, from which you will never, ever thirst again. And as a result of this conversation starter, he was able to invite the woman to explore that idea with him. And this led to her and her whole village coming to faith in Jesus. He was also discerning to the leading of the Holy Spirit and sensitively asked her to go, call your husband and come back. "I have no husband," she replies. And Jesus, without judging her lifestyle, was able to bring words of knowledge that showed how intimately the all-loving God knew her. And we need to be able to practice listening to the person we're speaking with while at the same time listening to the Holy Spirit, asking him what he's doing, what he wants to show us about the person, what he wants to share with them. And the early disciples never changed the gospel itself, but they constantly changed the manner in which they shared it, the stories they told, so that the significance of it was made known to the people they were speaking with. It's always important to understand where people are coming from in terms of their cultural identity and context, to understand the questions they're asking and even the questions that they're not asking directly. In Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 20, we see Paul and Barnabas meeting with the pagan farmers in Lystra. Paul understood the questions that the people of Lystra were asking about how to appease the gods of the harvest. And he took that as his starting point to tell stories that they would have introduced them to Jesus had he not been interrupted in the process. And this is in contrast to Paul, when Paul took a very different approach when he went to Athens. These were educated Athenians, and Paul used the writings of their own philosophers and poets, this is in Acts chapter 17, to convince them that the unknown God had sent him to answer their questions by telling them about a man who was raised from the dead. So two very different approaches, but the same gospel message. And we need to follow this approach too. To do this, we need to become better listeners. And we need to allow people to speak and to be heard. And we need to treat the honesty in which they share things with respect. Now, there are two key stories that we need to be prepared to share when we're invited. One is the big story of God, of his redemptive love for us through Jesus Christ. The other story we need to learn to share is the story of what God has done in each of our own lives and is still doing. Each of us who've given our lives to Jesus has a story to tell of how the gospel has impacted our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience." Can you tell people the reason for the hope that you have in Jesus? Your testimony of what God's done for you. How he's a living, active, and powerful God. Some of you may think there's too much to share, and where do you even start? And others of you may be thinking, well, there's nothing really to share at all. But each of us has something to share, and we need to be ready to do so when we're invited. I know it's hard for us to talk about ourselves. I find this difficult myself. But this isn't about you. This is about God. And it's about giving him glory for what he's done in your life and the way he's working through you. And we don't always have to share the big story of how we came to faith. Sometimes what people need to hear is the more recent examples of the difference that Jesus and the gospel makes in your everyday lives. Now, I'm going to close now, but I just want to give you a challenge for this week, if I may. Can I encourage you to give some thought about this to your testimony, about what was life was like before you knew Jesus, how it was that you came to meet Jesus and give your life to him, and what life has been like since or now? What difference has Jesus made? And then just practice sharing it with other Christians to give you confidence. And then maybe ask God who he wants you to share it with, and prayerfully seek opportunities to do that over the next couple of weeks. Now, I've left at the back, you can get these on your way out. If you would like, there's a short booklet that London City Mission we've produced to help you think about this in a bit more detail. It's got some space for you to write some thoughts down and takes you through how we can share our testimonies. So if you'd like to get one on the way out, there's no obligation to do so, but they're at the back, so please help yourself. So thank you, and God bless. Thank you.